Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be making this part of your day, thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb, in for Colin Cowherd. Ooh, fatty. Did you guys watch baseball yesterday? So good to take a nap to baseball. Baseball's on. Can we stop the count? The Angels are 1-0. They're in first place. They're undefeated. We're good. You good in a baseball year? I'm good. I'm good. You know, Dodgers lose, Angels win. I'm good. I'm teasing. Teasing, of course. We got a Final Four in front of us, and I'll be interested to catch up with Adam Morrison, who he did a pod with me. By the way, if you haven't downloaded my All Ball podcast, what are you waiting for? I have one with Adam Morrison where he took me through his entire career and all the ups and downs. It's amazing stuff. It's called All Ball on the Herd Podcast Network. Check it out. I think you'll really, really like it. Some little stuff, right? Kansas gave Bill Self a lifetime contract. There's a famous book. Do you guys remember Jim Valvano, Jimmy V, right? Jim Valvano wrote a book. They gave me a lifetime contract, then they declared me dead. Right, he actually got fired from NC State, but there's a clause in there which is really, really, really interesting. Really interesting. We'll get to that upcoming this hour. The Mets and the Nats were postponed yesterday. Obviously, COVID still a major factor. But I wanted to get to this in regards to football. You know, you can do a lot of great things in your life, in your career. But there are moments that stand out that you'll forever be known for. I'm going to use a personal one, which I think is an embarrassing moment. I shouldn't be embarrassed by it because it was something that I felt like was being silly, and it's caused people to look at me in a weird way. So I was at ESPN for 10 years, 9 in Bristol, and I left to work at CBS, and I wanted to do the Final Four. I got a chance to do the Final Four, and I was doing the Sweet 16, and I never met, I knew Charles Barkley, I knew Kenny a little bit. I had a former radio producer who produced his Sirius XM stuff and was good friends of mine. So, like, there was a cordial, and I'd worked with Greg Anthony a couple of times. Greg Gumbel I'd worked with plenty. He was super friendly. So that was the crew I was rolling with. And I did a radio show, similar to my radio show here. And I got done at 6 o'clock, and we were on air at 7 o'clock before, like, the 7:15 tip, right? And I went and did the radio show after mine. And I said, hey, my first line is going to be like, hey, man, I'm just here to be the token white guy, bring a little diversity of opinion here, right? Like, I thought that would be funny. And it was actually a line which somebody had told me when I knew the crew I was working with. It was like funny. Right? It's like ironic. I thought it was. And they laughed. And no one said, hey, you know, you shouldn't say that on TV. But we didn't have a pre-show meeting. And I kind of butchered the line, and I was like, hey, fellas, don't worry about me. I'm just here to give the white guy's perspective, right? And that's it. There was no reaction. Barkley claims he was like 3 seats over. Somebody in his ear couldn't hear. Kenny didn't hear what I said. Gumbel said he didn't hear it. It was just like a halo, hello, guys. And Greg Anthony, no reaction at all. Like, oh, boy. Now, if you go back and watch the segment, like the thing I take great pride in is, the rest of the segment, we actually talked hoops, and it was part of the conversation, and I was me, and it was interactive. And yes, in the break, I saw my career flash before my eyes because, you know, people on social media took it to be some racial joke or whatever, which it was, but it was more like self-deprecating, I thought. I don't know. I went to the Final Four and, like, we interviewed Floyd Mayweather. And this is before he fought Manny Pacquiao. And I was the only guy to go like, hey, are you going to fight Manny Pacquiao? Like, it was a question everybody wondered. And he kind of didn't really give an answer. But I asked the hard question. I know I performed really, really well. But that was like my signature moment. It was like my first. And I just assumed, hey, like, CBS, I've been on CBS. I'm college basketball. I've been doing this for a decade. Everybody knows I'm just messing around. But as it was explained to me, like, yeah, you have like 95% of your audience doesn't actually know anything about basketball until that very moment of the NCAA tournament. Like, oh, I didn't really realize that. Anyway, this is a big thing. It became like my signature moment and I couldn't escape it. Fair? Okay. Kyle Shanahan is walking himself into that same signature moment. He's been to two Super Bowls, one as an offensive coordinator, one as a head coach. Both he's led in the fourth quarter. Both his teams have given away those leads and lost. Now, to this moment, those overshadow, like, we do have a tendency to go like, well, they're up 28-3 in the Super Bowl. Like, yeah, but they got to the Super Bowl with the Falcons and they were up 28-3. Yes, they shouldn't have kept going for it. They should have kicked a field goal and gone up 31-3 and it probably would have been it and run the football and shorten the game or whatever, but they didn't. Okay. All of those things, okay, all of those things are interesting and accurate and fair, but he's known for those. Now he's going to be known for he had a quarterback who took him to a Super Bowl, who's under contract, and he's going to jettison him for whomever he drafts at number three. It is a defining moment of his career. And I know what you're saying. The defining moment should be he helped take the Falcons to the Super Bowl and he took the Niners to the Super Bowl. Those should be that's for me, my defining moment should be like, I was good enough to get there. I know what I'm good at. I know I can generate some conversation. I know that I'm quirky and funny and I know all the things that I can do. But that was like a signature moment. Right? It's like I played against Roy Williams. We beat him by 34. Or 33, excuse me, the next year. Beat him by 33 and 19 my senior year. But I am forever known for, we played Roy Williams and I had my shorts on backwards when we played in Fog Allen Fieldhouse. True story. First half of the game, playing against Kansas, super excited, big Monday. It's the only time I played in Lawrence because back then the Big 12, they were in the north, we were in the south. You'd play them once a year instead of twice. And so I was only there 3 years, right? Sophomore year's at home. Junior year was there, and then we played in the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City, and then senior year we played at our place and in Kansas City as well. But no one knows. I hit two threes in that game. I turned down a shot that could have won the game. We lost in overtime. Crazy call. Nobody knows. The only thing they know is that shorts on backwards. That's the signature moment. This is his signature moment. And this is the one that he's prepared for. Right? Like that, my moment, I prepared my whole career for that run on CBS, and one thing I said got taken as some sort of ill-timed joke. I guess it was an ill-timed joke. Wasn't needed, but I don't know. Wasn't that big a deal to me. It just wasn't. But it's like also you grew up watching those guys on Inside the NBA, and you're like, oh, you feel like they know you. You know them. You know their personality. You can bust chops with them. Like, yeah, we just met you, dude. Kyle's prepared for this his whole life. His dad was a coach. He won two Super Bowls. You know, he's roommates with Chris Sims. He's evaluated. The second he got done playing at Texas, he went right into the field. And they made Matt Schaub into more than just a starter, kind of a quasi-star for a while until, like, remember when the bottom fell out of Matt Schaub and he couldn't stop throwing pick sixes? Was it six games in a row he threw a pick six? It was that is an insane, really hard to top negative stat. Six games in a row, a pick six? That's crazy. Anyway, he made him into a good quarterback. Kirk Cousins, same thing. Matt Ryan's never been an MVP. Never been, but that one year he had him, like the two of them, it was incredible. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo, incredible. So it's not for lack of preparation. It's not that he's not equipped for it, but better get the right one. Better pick the right one. You know, you pick Mac Jones and he's not good enough. And everybody's like, dude, he's just not athletic enough. And he's just doesn't move well enough. His ball's not right. And Justin Fields goes and becomes the next Mahomes or Deshaun. Good luck with that. You don't escape it. You don't escape that one signature all-in move. I know. I am living proof. I got it. I can. Like, I, you know, it's kind of like, to me, your life should be like golf. How many strokes under par are you? Right? Like, yeah, you're going to have one of those holes that you, you know, your army golf, left, right, left, right. Put me down for an 8. That's more like an 11. Right? But, okay, you have one snowman. You have 1-8. What'd you do the rest of it? Like, that's how I, but that's not how the world doesn't work that way. The world gets hyper-focused on that one big decision and that one big hole. All right? If you're teeing off to play golf on a Saturday with your buddies, we're all going to determine whether or not you can play based upon your tee shot on number one. That's what we're going to do. So it's a big moment for Kyle. And I do wonder if he's, you get a little, anybody can get, and I probably, this is probably me, you get a little full of yourself because people are like, wow, you're funny, you're fun, you're captivating. You can kind of think you can say anything and do anything and all your analysis is going to be good and whatever. It's the same thing for Kyle. Everybody telling him how great, how unbelievably great his evaluation of quarterback is, his offense is, you start to believe it. Enough people tell you you're amazing, you're going to believe you're amazing. So I just wonder if that's where we are with Kyle Shanahan. Maybe he gets checked because of it. Michael Lombardi wrote this in The Athletic. When the 49ers trade away 2 firsts and a 3rd to move up 9 spots in the draft, they made that move based on the conviction of one man, their head coach Kyle Shanahan. No one in the building has enough knowledge or understanding the quarterback position to sway Shanahan away from selecting his guy. Kyle won't be wishful thinking. His informed expert opinion will be rooted in what he believes is essential for the quarterback position. Listen, you can even get the pick right and it not work out. You know? You can get the pick right. Like, I've said this, people, and we're going to get to this later in the hour. People continue to come at me because when Steph Curry declared for the NBA draft, I said I thought that Ricky Rubio had more upside. I did at the time. At the time, I was wrong. You know, you're allowed to be wrong. I didn't know he was going to be a two-time MVP. Right? I had no idea. Transcendent player in the NBA. You know, I like Johnny Flynn's athleticism more. Now, Johnny Flynn was a good draft, but did anybody know he's going to hurt his hip or that he's going to be put in the triangle offense, which if you're a ball screen point guard, it's the worst possible offense for you. You combine those two things and his pro career, especially the hip, was debilitated and short-lived. And it's like, forget about the fact that the guy that drafted Steph Curry didn't get to reap the benefits of Steph Curry. They offered up Steph Curry in a trade. They told the Milwaukee Bucks, hey, Monte Ellis or Steph Curry for Andrew Bogut. You pick one. So not only did they not know, but the Bucks didn't know. The Bucks could have had Steph Curry. Like, nah, we'll take Monte Ellis. The rest, as they say, is history. You can make the right pick and not get a chance to see it all the way through. But for Kyle Shanahan, he has spent his entire career evaluating and trying to find the perfect quarterback. Now he knows who's going number one, number two. They didn't have to do this, but he's clearly identified somebody he thinks is a perfect fit. He better be right. He better be right. All right, we're going to get you ready for the Final Four. Our next guest is synonymous synonymous with, I think, three things. Gonzaga, UCLA, and March Madness. I'm Doug Gottlieb. That's next in The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you can get your podcast.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be making us part of your day, thanks so much. If I say Gonzaga, there's like two guys that come to mind. Two guys. One would be Dan Dickow. The other would be Adam Morrison. Fair? When I say UCLA, obviously there's historic players. When I say UCLA and Gonzaga, you're like, oh, Adam Morrison. God, that was rough. That was in Oakland, right? So UCLA and Gonzaga are going to play in the Final Four tomorrow. We just so happen to be lucky enough to get Adam Morrison to join us here in The Herd on Fox Sports Radio. Adam, first, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. It's interesting. You know, your college career was amazing. You were kind enough to do that pod with me. By the way, it's All Ball. You can download the podcast. Adam took us through kind of everything. But no matter all the awards and all of the points and the 28 a game and the dominating college basketball, you're forever known for that game. What do you remember about the game in Oakland in 2006?
I think I remember just, obviously we were up 15 with about 5 minutes to go, and, a lot of things had to go right for UCLA, and they did. And, I still will go to my grave thinking that JP Batista got fouled on that steal, because he was an 85% free throw shooter. So when I passed it to him on that double team, we were expecting him to get fouled. Unfortunately, they stole the ball and laid it up, and then, the rest was history for me. So, it's funny. I was sitting on our broadcast because, I do the games for Gonzaga, and I mentioned in our post-game show, I was like, man, I really hope Michigan wins so I don't have to relive this thing over again. And unfortunately for myself, UCLA came through, and it's going to be an interesting matchup on Saturday.
Okay, so do you want them to, they get up 15, do you want them to sweep the leg and just run it up and go for it? Because, common practice is, AAU, you get up 25, you're like, all right, call off the dogs. You want them to sweep the leg and just, hey, listen, 15 is not enough, boys.
It was 15 years ago, obviously, for me, and, Fuey and the staff have elevated the program beyond that, obviously. So, obviously I want us to win. These kids have had such a fantastic season, but it's just so funny. It just morphs into UCLA coming from first four and making out of that bracket. A blowout. We've won by 24 in every game this tournament, so a blowout wouldn't be surprising, but UCLA is playing with house money. Obviously very good, very, very good team with Ju Zhang. I like that kid. He's good too. And I think I like that little point guard, Campbell. It's good. So we'll see. It should be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, Tiger Campbell looks straight out of a Rasta poster back from my college days, right? Doesn't he? It's really, really amazing. The hair, the look, the whole thing. There is definitely some Rasta swag there.
Oh, absolutely. A little Bob Marley and it's everything's legalized now, so it's okay to have that mindset. But he did a fantastic job keeping those Michigan guards out of the paint, so I think that's going to be one of the keys when we play him, is how that matchup between him and Suggs and our other guards go. If we can get into the paint, it'll be good for us. But if he can keep us out of the paint, it'll be a little more difficult offensively.
There's, and I don't know, do you guys have a text chain with all of the Santangelos, the Richie Froms, the Dickows, the Casey Cavalries? Are you on that text chain?
No, not really. Those guys were before me.
I know.
So, you know, they're kind of the era that started it all. So they had more success as a group than my groups did. So they're kind of, in my view, they're held in higher regard as far as Gonzaga standing. So, no, I don't really talk about the games with them, I guess. But
I guess the question, Adam, is this. Like, if they win on Monday night, is it, do you guys all feel, or do you personally feel like a part of it, right? Like, and I know Few has done a great job. Do you feel a part of it?
In a minute sense, you know, as far as helping the program, I guess, you know, with those Elite Eight runs and then my group, you know, elevating it to a national prominence, I guess you could say. But, you know, during this whole season and then obviously the UCLA game coming up, I kind of feel bad because some of the attention goes back to that last game in my era. And it's like these kids are, you know, 30-0 and are a fantastic basketball team. So I think all of us will feel a little bit, you know, like we've done a little bit for the program, but these guys have taken it to a whole different level. They're so much better than our older teams. And I don't like even saying that, but it's the truth. They just play a better brand. They're better players coming out of high school, and you know, they've taken the program to heights that a lot of us didn't think it could go. So we're all proud of them for real, and it's time for us to get shoved off the Mount Rushmore of Gonzaga and put these guys up there if they can win on Monday.
Plus, Drew Timmy's facial hair was much better than your facial hair. Let's just be honest.
His handlebar mustache is such more ingrown than mine was. Mine was wispy and tough, you know, tough to look at when I look back and show my kids of my playing days. I usually show them the freshman and sophomore year highlight tapes and skip the junior year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, listen, I had a little chin thing going on there too for a while in college. And I did the frosted tips one year, start of a year before my coach.
Made me.
Yeah. And you're just like, God, what was I doing? Whereas Timmy, I felt like Timmy took the matchup with Evan Mobley personally. Like, I thought am I wrong? Because he's like, not only do I want to kick his ass because I normally like to kick guys' asses, but people think he's a top five draft pick. Like, I'm a sophomore.
Yep.
And he just went right at him.
Well, I think it was a huge game for his stock, for Timmy, if he, you know, chooses to leave this year or next year. He had to go against an NBA type body, an NBA athlete inside single coverage. And we really haven't faced that this year. I mean, he's had great games in the tournament, but he hasn't played an NBA body. And so he, you know, came out with the right mindset. And he was really good defensively on the perimeter. I mean, he started the game with two steals and kind of got him going in transition. So, yeah, he really took it to heart, I think, and you know, understood. It was kind of like the Domas Sabonis Jakob Poeltl game when they said Jakob Poeltl was a better player than Domas was about 5-6 years ago in the tournament. Same situation, and Domas took it personally. Draft stock, I think Timmy had the same mindset of, all right, I need to really show the next level that I have a chance to play at that level. So he did an excellent job of kind of dominating the whole interior of that game.
You know, it's interesting. Adam Morrison's our guest. I'm Doug Gottlieb in for Colin Cowherd. This is the Herd on Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app. It's interesting that I feel that, like, there's a competitiveness to the program that is real, right? Where and most places have that, right? Where you're like, oh, that guy's something? Wait, let me show him. But there's kind of competitive dudes there. What's interesting, it's not that Fewey's not competitive, but, you know, like, if he loses on Saturday, he'll be super bummed and upset for the kids. But then he'll be fly fishing like 2 days later. Like, he has a balance about it. Because a program usually is, looks like the head coach, right? Feels like the head coach. But Mark appears to be one of the nicest, genuine, calmest human beings on earth. And yet you guys have these vicious competitors. How does that balance take place?
Well, I think, you know, with Fewey is he's going to coach you, but you're never going to get MF'd or anything like that. So that's first and foremost when you come in. So, you know, he's going to get on you. He's going to, you know, teach you the right ways to play and make sure he's, you know, he always says squeezing the last 5% out of you as far as the players go. So I think he recruits guys that are, you know, culture guys. But then he has a pretty good lifestyle, and it's not, there's not, you know, there's pressure, but there's not a lot of pressure like a football school or Power Five conference to where, you know, you have to produce, which he always does. So I think he just has a calmness over the program. But a lot of it has to do with the guys they recruit. I mean, it sounds cliche, but he recruits culture guys. He recruits guys that are gym rats. He recruits basketball first oriented guys that are, you know, want to make something of their career. And then especially in the older days, we were all kind of diamonds in the rough or overlooked type of players. And he's kept that same attitude with how he recruits. And yeah, no, he's done an excellent job of morphing himself into a different, you know, mindset as a coach. I mean, he was a little more intense, I think, when I was there. Now he's a little more laid back. I think going to USA Basketball really helped him, being around like Boeheim and Pop and those guys, and seeing how they're around five-star recruits, you know what I mean, and dudes. And so he's taken that mindset and really morphed it into the program. And, you know, now they're getting five-star recruits. They got that kid out of Omaha. We might get that Chet kid, hopefully. You know, we're getting dudes now, and Jalen Suggs. And so he's done an excellent job of kind of pulling the reins back on his intensity, I think, in the last decade or so.
Yeah, if he gets Chet Holmgren, that it's a wrap. Gonzaga's officially become Kentucky, right? Like, I mean, lining up, Jalen Suggs, you obviously played and played well in the NBA. You know, you've been a part of championship teams. I remember the story you told me about Kobe and how great he was to you. Jalen Suggs, the NBA comp for you as a guy who's actually played against these all-time greats. Is he Jason Kidd? Like, what is he?
That's a good question, because I've battled that myself in my own head. I first was thinking Bradley Beal, but I don't think he scores it well enough. But I think he's similar to Jason Kidd at passing. I think he's a better scorer than maybe Jason Kidd was, but Jason Kidd didn't have to score in his era at that position. So I think that's probably a fair comp. What's been most impressive for me with him coming to Gonzaga is he, you know, he could have gone anywhere, obviously. He could have gone to football as well, but he went to Gonzaga to play with other good players and play in the system. And there's been games this year where he's only had 5, 6, 7 shots, but he has 8, 9 assists. And usually you get those type of kids, if they don't get the numbers or get the line that they wanted, the parents start complaining or the kid's body language is bad. We haven't seen that at all from him. He's been fantastic defensively. I mean, the last game against USC was 16-10-8. I'm really impressed with him as a passer more than anything else. But I think he has a tremendous upside in the pros, because they play pro style and he handles it really well, and, you know, space the floor, ball screen with motion and reads and back cuts and stuff like that, and can shoot it. So I think Jason Kidd is a good comp with a little bit better jump shot and finish around the rim.
Adam, great stuff, man. Look, I know obviously, like, nobody, I discussed it earlier, nobody likes to pick apart like one spot of a guy's life and career, but that's unfortunately that's what people are going to do. Emotionally, you gonna be good Saturday when they start showing all those re-airs, those highlights?
Yeah, no, I'm fine. I put that stuff to bed, honestly, about 10 years ago. But if you asked me five years after, I probably would have declined the interview. So it's just funny, because I knew it was coming up, and I appreciate you guys having me on and stuff like that. But I was just like, oh, man, I just want for these kids, they don't have to talk about my career 15 years later when they're, you know, 30-0 and about have a chance to win national championships. So it is what it is, but, you know, life goes on, and, you know, there's worse things to be remembered by than being emotional at the end of a loss, I guess.
No question about it. You show me somebody who doesn't cry when they lose. I say, I'm like, I like guys that cry when I cry when I lost my last college game.
Yeah.
Like a baby.
Yeah, no.
Like a baby. I can still remember every moment of it, right? Every moment of it I can remember.
Yeah. High school, same way. We lost the state championship in the locker room. It was a tear fest with everybody. I mean, I was watching, you know, obviously the tournament, Alabama on the sideline. Those kids were emotional in that loss to UCLA in overtime. So, yeah, it happens. And people don't understand. It's like you know, I was from Spokane. There was a ball boy there. So it was like one of those deals where, you know, kind of had the pressure on the city as well and to fall up short, because we were going to play Memphis, who we lost to earlier in that season, and we felt good about that matchup. And then, you know, like I said, we were up 15 with about 5 minutes to go, and about 10 things had to go right for UCLA, and they all did. You know, Ryan Hollins makes a one-on-one free throw. Jordan Farmar makes a 17-foot running bank shot, who was one of my teammate in L.A., and he always laughs. He's like, I don't know how I made that. Yeah, so it is what it is, and life goes on. And, you know, if it didn't happen, you know, maybe my life's a little bit different as far as how people remember me. But, you know, like I said, because it did happen, I'm on the Herd, you know, so we got to talk about Gonzaga basketball. So there's some pros and cons to it, I guess.
No question. I'm actually watching it. When you lose, is there any recollection of anything that happened elsewhere? By the way, like, here's a crazy one. You guys were up three and you missed a shot and you did it right? Held to the last second, missed a shot. And then there was a bizarre, like, foul call on JP with 19 points. They didn't get fouled going to the basket. They got fouled in their own end.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, like I said, there was so many things that had to go right. The biggest regret I have from that game is that last possession. I think I got a switch on a guard. I think it was Farmar.
Yes.
Collison. I should have bounced him down and tried to get to the free throw line or take them better. I took like a fadeaway, like a 14-footer or something. That's the one regret when I remember back, is I probably should have put my head down, and because I had a good whistle that whole year, and try to get to the free throw line and score, and you know, maybe we move on. But you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. Gonzaga wins the national title if
We get out in transition. I mean, if we can limit Juzang in this next game, and I think if Campbell, you know, we can kind of try to get him off the floor, because I thought he was fantastic defensively. But you know, we're number one in the country in 2-point field goal percentage. We're 72% at the rim, and then 34% of our shots have been in transition as a whole. So if we can get out and run, I think we're going to be fine. That USC game scared me with that 2-3 zone, but early in the game we got out and ran and got out in transition and scored at will. So if we can gang rebound like we've been doing and get out in transition, I think we have as good a shot as anybody.
Adam, you're a good man for coming on, for talking about this stuff. You've always been good to me personally, and of course, I love calling your games back in the day. Can't wait to catch up in person, maybe with the Zags as national champions, and thanks for being our guest on Fox Sports Radio.
Cool. Thanks, Doug.
All right, it's Adam Morrison. And I encourage you to do this, right? You should download that podcast, not just because it was a really good podcast, but it's like he walks you through, like, that emotionally scars you for a long time. I don't know if you have had this in your life, but you know, in my life, we didn't lose a close game my last game. It got close. We played Florida. It was in the Elite Eight, and we wanted to play Duke, because our sophomore years we had lost to Duke, and they were really young. Jay Williams was just a freshman, and so was Dunleavy. That team that went on to win a national championship, I think the next year. They were freshmen mostly that year. And you know, what ended up happening was we played Florida instead, and Florida was crazy talented. And we got down early, we came back, we tied the game, and then Mike Miller hit a couple of threes, and that was that. And but you wake up the morning of the Elite Eight and you just, I'm going to be cutting down nets. I'm going to go to the Final Four. I'd gone to the Final Four my entire life as a kid. My dad was a coach. And then all of a sudden, now I'm not going to the Final Four. It's over like that. So, yeah, of course, I remember Adam crying on the court. And they still had, you know, 2 seconds or so to get off a shot. And they actually got up a decent shot. But like that, it just kind of emotionally scars you. You know? Emotionally scars you. And when you're a person who's fully and completely invested, and that's the only way you're successful in this thing, is if guys are completely invested in doing it and winning. When you're completely invested in something, you don't think the possibility of losing. Plus, they had a big lead. So I do get it. Let's get to Ryan Music with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Great, great interview there with Adam Morrison, Doug. But we're going to switch.
Epic interview. Epic. Rack that.
Incredible.
Incredible.
We're going to switch gears a little bit.
Phenomenal.
Get into the NFL. NFL insider Mike Girardi is getting a little bit of insight on what we think the 49ers' future is going to look like. I know you and John Middlecoff talked about this a little bit earlier on the Jimmy G dynamic and them trading up to the number 3 overall pick. Here's what Girardi had to say. The 49ers are currently asking for a first-round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo. Here's their plan. They're going to draft a quarterback at 3rd overall. They're going to let him learn for at least a year, in the process allowing Garoppolo to repair his damaged value after a couple of injury-filled seasons. And that way, in 2021, they can try and trade him for a higher pick as opposed to settling for less value right now. Hoping that after Jimmy G can stay healthy, build up that trade value, they'll be able to get the first-round pick that they're looking for. Important to remember, Jimmy G has a no-trade clause for 2021, which is why they may end up having to wait until after that season, until 2022, which will make it obviously much easier to trade him.
So that's the plan.
That's the plan as of now. I mean, the no-trade clause...
That just means he can pick his spot.
Correct.
Right.
But where would he want to go? If teams know that that's where he's setting the market at, are they really going to get the first round pick that they're hoping for?
No, they're not getting a first round pick for him. Right? I mean, they're screwed in the contract they gave him until next year when they can set him free. There's a bunch of different things, and the cap's going to spike up next year as well.
I mean, depending on who they take at number 3 overall, I know it doesn't
that,
create...
That means they're going to take Justin Fields or Trey Lance.
Trey Lance, right.
Right? You're not taking... Because the Mac, you take Mac Jones, you're like, look, we got a ready-made team. We just need to come in here. Somebody's not going to screw
yeah,
it.
Yeah, if you look what happened when he had players around him. He just distributes the ball. Alabama was great.
But just a lower ceiling, right?
Correct, yeah.
Like, the thing with that I was told by several people, and the Bears specifically, they're like, look, we had Glennon, but we knew who we were drafting. We were going to play him very close to right away. And we just felt like Mahomes needed a lot of work. And if you watch Mahomes at Tech, he needed a lot of work. He had bad footwork. He threw his butt. He had just so much talent. You're like, it was really hard. This is a guy who's going to have to sit. I don't care if he was at their pro day. They're at his pro day. I don't see them drafting Mac Jones.
Yeah. You would imagine if this is how it plays out. I see it as... You play Jimmy G, and if he inevitably gets hurt, okay, maybe you throw the young guy in faster than you had planned on. Or if he plays well, then you're probably in playoff contention. You don't really need to make a quarterback change at that point. And then, yes, it does help his draft stock. Now, does that rise to the level of a first-round draft pick? Who knows? But it does make sense that they probably will go with someone more of a higher upside, longer-term plan as opposed to a more ready-made quarterback.
And that's Ryan Music with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
All right, great stuff with Adam Morrison. Coming up next, it always happens right around this time of year, and I'm done apologizing for it. I'll explain next in The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
What's up, everyone? It's me, 3-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. We saved some stuff. We did. That's why it's the best for last.
After almost 3 hours, Colin apparently hasn't gotten to the point yet. Quit holding out on us, Cowherd. It's the best for last.
All right, trending on Twitter is, I won't apologize for this anymore. It's in relation to Kevin Durant, right? Not wanting to apologize for his burner account anymore. I won't apologize for this anymore. So here's what we'll do. We'll contribute to a hashtag, I won't apologize for this anymore. You ready? Okay. I'm not apologizing anymore for saying Ricky Rubio had more upside than Steph Curry. It's 12 years ago. I missed. I don't need to apologize for it. No one bats 1,000. Plenty of other people shared some sort of similar opinion, including the Minnesota Timberwolves. Granted, David Kine got fired. I'm not apologizing for anymore. It happened. We moved on. Like, Steph Curry had moved on. This is a true story. My first TV show on CBS Sports Network. It's called Lead Off with Ali LaForce. You can see Ali in the tournament. The first night we had a show, we had Steph Curry from his hotel room with his iPad FaceTiming us. And that was the night he got his contract, which was like 4 years, $44 million, which turned out to be a total bargain. He didn't know if he was going to get extended. Helps set the dynasty everything. So if Steph can get over it, I think you can get over it too. I'm not going to apologize anymore for taking off my shoes. I'm comfortable. I shower daily. I wear clean socks. Okay, I'm not some Neanderthal that's been out working, you know, outside for months on end, unable to change shoes or change socks or wash my feet or whatever. My feet don't smell. My socks don't smell. And oh, yeah, by the way, I'm alone in a studio protected by all the COVID regulations. Not apologizing for anymore. I'm not apologizing for saying Deadpool is not only my favorite superhero movie, but it should have won the Academy Award for Best Picture the year it came out. Why? It was the best movie that I saw. I'm not apologizing anymore for wearing sneakers instead of dress shoes. When was the last time you wore a pair of dress shoes? You ever look in your... I have some great dress shoes. They're called Alden. They're like expensive but handcrafted and incredibly comfortable for dress shoes. Do you know what's more comfortable than expensive dress shoes? Pretty much any sneaker ever invented. So, not apologizing for wearing sneakers with my suits or just wearing jeans and sneakers with a sport coat. It's in now, but I don't have to apologize for it for being too cash. Oh, and I'm not going to apologize anymore for telling people to never do a 30-year fixed mortgage. You just, do you know anybody your age who's going to live in the same place for 30 years, let alone 10 years? Or even 5 years. Yeah. Do the 5-in-1, the 7-in-1 arm. Save yourself some money. Rates are an all-time low. And just say, hey, Gottlieb was right. I'm not apologizing anymore. That's the best for last. All right. We do have some games upon us tomorrow. The Zags are 14.5-point favorites. That's a lot of points. It's a lot of points. I think UCLA can muck it up and keep it closer? I do. But they got some matchup issues as well. And I think usually the start of these Final Four games are usually up and down fests. And you don't have any dome adjustment with these games. I mean, I like obviously Gonzaga and Baylor to win. I like Baylor to cover a little bit more than I like Gonzaga to cover, even though they're just mollywhopping teams. But 14.5 is a lot of points. A lot of points. We have a little bit of clarity now on the Garoppolo thing, right? They're telling everybody we're going to, Mike Garofolo saying they're going to hold on to him for a year, help him rebuild his stock. To me, that signifies it's Trey Lance or Justin Fields. It is the Mac Jones thing. They went, they took a look. Now they're going to study the other one. All right, we took a look. He's fine. Not feeling it. Just not. Ironically, Mac Jones looks and feels like many of the guys that Kyle Shanahan has had success with. He just doesn't look and feel like a guy you'd have success with sitting him for a year, developing for a year, and has the ceiling of a Justin Fields or a Trey Lance. Does that make sense? I mean, drafting him would make total... At 12, it would make sense. At 3, it just doesn't. Colin is back Monday. Don't celebrate yet. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Herd.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.